Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the Ahmaud Arbery guilty verdicts have come in. I had a conversation about the case with Brandon Tatum, who offers some interesting context about that and also the BLM movement and so much more. Brandon Tatum, great friend, good American. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. If you want to support our show and our program, I want to thank David from Nevada. Thank you. Alexandria from Michigan. Thank you. Marcy from Utah. Thank you. Paul from Hawaii. Thank you. Dan from Colorado. And Vonice from Scottsdale. charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. If you want to come to America Fest, everybody, it's tpusa.com/AMFEST. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. It's going to be the largest pro-American celebration on the planet. It's going to be pretty amazing, everybody. tpusa.com/AMFEST. And we have Rand Paul coming, Jesse Waters coming, Candace Owens coming, we have Tucker Carlson coming, we have Greg Gutfeld coming, tpusa.com/AMFEST, December 18, 19, 20, 21. Brandon Tatum is here. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. With us is a good friend of mine and a great American, Brandon Tatum. Brandon, welcome back.
What's up, Charlie? How you doing, man?
You have a new book coming out, or momentarily, I guess you could say people can pre-order it, and they should. Beaten, Black, and Blue. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I wrote a book about policing in America. You know, not many people are writing about these things, and not many police officers have the voice and the platforms to be able to speak on their behalf. And so I said, you know what? I want to write this book, and this is a book that was in my heart when I was a police officer several years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? It's a time and place that I'm going to write the book and defend law enforcement officers, dispel myths of police coming from slave patrols, and, you know, what is police brutality versus not? What is going to be the real effect of defunding the police? And I interview 5 police officers that are incredible men who've served all across the country. And I think it's an incredible book for people that want to hear the voices of police officers and hear an articulable response to some of the naysayers.
Yeah, and we obviously see a war on police, and it's going different in every community. What do you think is the main driving force behind that? Because it's not even that popular in the Black community to get rid of police.
Well, you know, I think that it's political. A lot of people like to promote something that make you feel good, to get you emotionally charged, and it has no real positive effect. There is no rational reason to defund police in any circumstance. If anything, they want to fund the police for the things that they complain about. You want to get them better training. You want to make sure they're equipped. You want to be able to hire more police officers who are qualified, who represent the community. So I think it's all political, man. I think that when Black people get killed by police, there's an emotional charge and there's an emotional financial benefit, right? You get people charged up, people make a lot of money that's in, you know, invested in race hustling. And I think they use that to get leverage to votes, but they don't have a solid real perspective.
Yeah, so since all the Floyd stuff, which you came out really strong and you deserve to be credit for that, you were super courageous on that. You know, we've seen murder rates go up dramatically across the country. It's been the Floyd effect, basically. You know, with that one incident, now we see inner cities more dangerous than ever. Mm-hmm. Even Phoenix is having an increase in crime. And this goes to show that bad ideas in this war on police is not just – it's not just something that should be refuted, but it's actually making America more dangerous.
Right. And I think that's with anything. You know, these bad ideas from people who don't come from a good – you know, I would say godly place. They don't come from a good place of moral character and love for the country. They create these ideas to get votes, and then they leave you out to dry. I mean, there's – like I said, you know, when you look at George Floyd, you know – in the perspective of reality, that's a one-off. Even in that particular city, that's a one-off. You cannot find another case that a black man has been put in that situation similar to George Floyd. I could tell you a white guy that nobody would ever cover.
Tony Tempa,
nobody would ever cover that. However, it's a one-off. And these police brutality situations are one-offs. Yeah. You know, police patrol, you know, they have contact with over 300 million people a year. There's no research, there's no study that can suggest that they're disproportionately affecting black people. And so with this one-off, they've completely destroyed the reputation of law enforcement in America, and it's making, you know, most communities unsafe.
So one of the cases that we're keeping a close eye on is the Ahmaud Arbery case. Yeah. And you've actually done some studying on this. What are the what's going on with that? Because that we were told that there was a young black man who wanted to be a cross-country athlete who was going for a nice jog on a beautiful day. And white supremacist, Confederate sympathizing former police officers pulled up in a car and hunted down this poor black man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that.
Where am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, that's the narrative that's being pushed. Yes. And unfortunately, even people on both sides, man, I get it from both sides.
Because, well, I'm saying it sardonically, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, people from both sides criticize me because a lot of people are not looking at the facts of the case. Emotionally, people look at it and say, he didn't deserve to die. Well, that's up to God who deserves to die. That ain't up to us, and nobody can make that argument. But the cases, the facts of this case is that Ahmaud Arbery wasn't jogging on that day when he entered a structured, an unoccupied
structure.
Yeah,
so go through all the facts of the case, right? Because this is about to be a whole nother situation, right?
Yeah.
So what it's in Georgia. What's the facts of the case? Because the way that most people think is that poor Ahmaud Arbery going for a run, and white supremacists hunt him down in the street.
So it's a lot to unravel, but let's start with the facts of the fact that Ahmaud Arbery wasn't a jogger, which is being pushed in the media. He wasn't a jogger. There's no evidence of him jogging. Mm-hmm. He has been in this community multiple times, seen on camera in Larry English's house, which is the residence that people are, you know, that's the focus of the investigation. He has been in there multiple times. Over five times he's been spotted on camera, and not one time he was jogging. If anything, he's running after he's called and after he's identified by citizens in the community. So he's not jogging. On this particular day, he enters a structure that's not occupied. He goes into the structure. Neighbors see him. He's on video camera. Larry English, who's the homeowner, sees him on his camera. The whole neighborhood is now picking up on the fact that this guy is back, and he's now in the house after things have been stolen from that particular residence. So he sees a citizen calling the police. He runs. After he runs, the citizen who called the police signaled to the neighbors. Everybody see him running down the street. They identify him as a person whom they have interacted with before at this residence late at night. They chase him. They attempt to conduct a citizen's arrest. In the state of Georgia, citizens can conduct a citizen's arrest. You don't need to prove that a person has committed a crime. You don't need to see them firsthand commit a crime. All you need is reasonable suspicion that a person has committed a crime. They say probable suspicion, reasonable suspicion that this person may have committed a crime. In order to chase them, you have to have reasonable suspicion that they committed a felony crime. In the state of Georgia, burglary is a felony. Burglary only involves a person entering an occupied or unoccupied structure with the intent to take something. People don't have to prove that he was going to take anything. It's about suspicion. They had suspicion based on what the defense has argued. They chase him, for I don't know how many minutes, man. They're chasing him all around the community. He's running here. He's running there. No guns have been brandished. No threats have been made, according to what the court documents say. They corner him at some point. He's running down the street. McMichael, the younger McMichael, steps out of his car with a gun. One thing that people criticize, they didn't have a reason to have a gun. Well, you don't lose your constitutional right to bear arms or to carry a firearm just because you're conducting a citizen's arrest. You have a right in the state of Georgia to open carry a firearm. And what idiot would chase a person down conducting a lawful citizen's arrest and not carry a gun with you? But if he has a gun.
And these are former police officers, right?
Well, at least the father was a former police officer and the son was a former military. And he was he trained. He was in the military police. Mm-hmm. So these people do have tactical experience. So once they corner him, the biggest part of all of this is that he's running down the street. He could have went right, could have went left, could have ran around him. Once he rounds the truck, I mean, Michael's son is standing in the front of the truck with the shotgun. Ahmaud Arbery attacks him. And they have a fight over the shotgun. And that's when multiple shots went off, a few of them, you know, puncturing the body of Ahmaud Arbery, and he dies. And because they are white and he's black, we're even talking about this at this point. Because after the initial investigation, they weren't going to charge them. because the facts and circumstances that were presented, they were justified in using force. But after social justice warriors come out, they decide they're going to prosecute these guys, and they become now white supremacists, mm-hmm. and then he becomes a jogger. And so
yeah, he's just trying to make the Olympic trials.
Right. And you know, they argued that the prosecution argued that he was an avid jogger and that they had seen him jogging in the area, not in this community. They've seen him jog in the direction of this community. And that should be justification that he was just jogging, an innocent man looking in somebody's property he shouldn't have been in just because he was out on a jog. And when he left the residence, he was just jogging at a high rate of speed. That's irrational. He was running. He was pretty fast, though, to be honest.
Yeah, and so it sounds like this is a young man, Ahmaud Arbery, who was breaking and entering. Now, was this like a house under construction?
It was a house under construction that was being remodeled.
Yeah, so what was the potential? Was he just there to kind of just take a look at it, or what's the
– You know
– What's the defense or prosecution saying about that?
Well, the prosecution said he was just a person lingering around, just looking in the house with no intent to do anything, just because he was out on
the
stroll.
But he was there multiple times, though, wasn't he?
That's what they don't want to bring up, even though they're forced to bring up, because there's 911 calls from Larry Ingers, the homeowner. There's multiple calls.
He's got it on camera of him being in
there, right? He's on camera four times, four different occasions of him being in that particular residence. And – he's been confronted by people in the community on other occasions, and the police officers have case reports documenting, you know, these things. So he's not just a jogger, and they want to say he's a jogger. Even if it's not occupied, you still don't have a right to be in somebody's dwelling. And then there were thefts from that particular place. You know, he has wood, he has tools, he has
boats. We don't know if that was him that took it.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know if that was actually him that took it.
But there were other thefts, so they had reasonable suspicion to believe that if someone's there that shouldn't be there, you could steal stuff.
Right. So there were thefts from a particular boat that was there, things that were stolen off of the boat. After the homeowner took the boat from the property, Ahmaud Arbery appears there looking at a smaller boat. So they can't prove that he stole it, but that's what for court and investigation is for. But a reasonable person would believe that he could be responsible in these thefts that have gone on in their particular residence.
And so, but the prosecution is still kind of staying with their case that the McMichaels, is that their name, right?
McMichaels. Yeah.
That they saw this and immediately they got on their racist hunt and they went forward. Now, there's another detail, though. This chase went on for a while, didn't it?
It went on for a while. You know, most people see the video, the amateur video from one of the other defendants in this case, and they're charging him, too, because somebody died while they were in a commission of an unlawful citizen's arrest, which is that's what the prosecution is arguing. But on the amateur video, you just see Ahmaud Arbery running down the street, you see a car following him, and then you see the instance. That wasn't all. I mean, they were following him left, right, down the street, up the street. He was hiding. He was running here, running there. They were literally virtually trying to corner him, waiting on the police to respond. Police had been called before he left the residence.
So they called the police?
Not the McMichaels. A neighbor called the police. The McMichaels called the police once they were at the bottom of the street, right before the shooting. They called the police, say, look, we got him cornered on this street. And then that's when he ran down the street and got into the altercation. So there were multiple callers. The McMichaels did call before there was a shooting.
Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our democracy by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote, at the checkout line, and that is where massively important organizations called Second Vote come in. The courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. Check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. What if I told you Chick-fil-A is not all that you might think it is? Well, their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive. It doesn't happen for free. Please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's just $50 a year. But if you use promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. It's literally $2 a month, everybody. And you get 50% off the information you need to have before you make your next purchase. Do not buy products from people that hate you. Don't buy products from people that are funding the downfall of America. Join me, go to secondvote.com, and subscribe with promo code Charlie today. But this is another situation, isn't it, Brandon, that if the police were properly funded and did their job, then it wouldn't take people to have to do this themselves. It's kind of similar to Rittenhouse, right?
100, I mean, 2,000%. I mean, this is citizens standing up for their communities.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I think people put too much emphasis on police as well. I do think that you need to have more police officers so we don't get into these situations where professionals can go and handle it.
Yeah, because it gets sloppy and, you know.
It can,
yeah.
But we are responsible. People, we're giving all of our power to the state. We are responsible.
Oh, I agree completely.
Especially for defending our own homes. That's why we have firearms, to defend our own homes, because we are ultimately responsible.
They want to make it illegal to do that.
Right. Because they want the state to have more power than you do.
Yeah.
They want the government to have more power than you do. And if they eliminate, and this is my opinion, if they eliminate your guns, then you have to rely on the state. If they eliminate the police, the municipal police, then now they send in or federalize your police department.
Yeah. So let's I want to zero in on that. I've said that for a while. I say that they don't want to defund the police.
Right.
It's just a means to the end to create a woke FBI over everybody. Like a national police force.
Well, you have to understand, municipal police are hired, HR hired, city council approved, city manager. All of those people approved the police chief. The sheriff of the county is an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vested interest in saying, let's get rid of the municipal police. And if you get rid of the municipality, the sheriff comes in and takes over. They want you to believe if you get rid of the city cops that you don't have police. No, the sheriff takes jurisdiction over the city. It has happened in California on multiple occasions. Smaller cities can't control the community. The police are rogue. They send in the county. L.A. County has taken over plenty of cities. And so that's what they're going to do. They want to elect somebody that can control that. Therefore, they don't have to go through
like a Soros-elected DA, whatever. Right.
If they can get a sheriff that can do what they want them to do, that's the next best thing. If a sheriff won't do it, they want to get rid of police and then have it federalized. They can send in the National Guard. They can use the FBI.
Like a woke, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion force.
That you can control from the White House.
And that would be the end of local government as we know it.
It's the end. It's the end of the United States of America.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, states' rights.
It then becomes just a completely total... It would be the centralized states or the centralized project of America or whatever.
That's what I believe leftists want, ultimately.
Yes.
They want central control from the White House. So then they can get the person in office that they want, and then they can do what they're doing now. Now, this is not an argument of election. This is an argument of them putting somebody in place that's a puppet.
Oh, I totally agree. And they also want to be able to use the threat of putting political dissidents in prison and allow their people to do whatever they want, right?
100%.
And so can you build this out? Because so a lot of people – and I struggle with this one, right, is, you know, let's talk about Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Austin, Texas murders are up 88% year over year. There was just a ballot referendum on the ballot to say, do you want to fund the police to the amount it used to be? So to refund the police essentially, not more, and it lost – off like dramatically by like 20 or 30 points. How is that possible?
Well, because let's look at it like this. You know, the general – look at voting. I would argue that people who are lower income, people who may be poor or illiterate are not the ones that are voting. And the people that are in these neat police – the communities that they need the police the most are probably not the ones who are registered to vote. The people who are affluent, the people who are in the middle class, they're not engaging with police all the time. They're rarely engaging with police. So they're the woke ones that say, well, we don't need the police. They're not helping our communities. And then they believe the narrative that they're just killing all these minorities. And so they vote –
they're going around on horseback and just gunning people down.
They vote on their behalf. And then they dismantle the police.
Yeah.
But in the inner city – where some of these people are not voting, they're not registering to vote like they should. They are not; their voice is not being heard. They the ones need the police.
So yeah, in the black community, I can't imagine it's not the police aren't as unpopular as I think we're told, right?
I mean,
there's a general complaint, right? There's a narrative.
There is a narrative, but people who actually are involved with the victims of these criminal encounters, they know the value of police.
You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there is like a driving wild black type narrative. That's a thing, right? I mean, that's
– yeah. It's not a real thing, but it's a narrative.
No, but it's a narrative, right? You're 12 years old. You live in Fulton County, Georgia, right? You live in Dallas, you know, where you grew up. And you're kind of told that, you know, there's – be careful driving.
Right.
Because you might get gunned down by a police officer.
Yeah. And it's actually the most idiotic statement that can be made because it's untrue, not even statistically true. Now
it's like the opposite of true.
It's,
right?
Yeah, it's the complete opposite, yeah. Especially in Atlanta. I just was on a Revolt Summit, and
how'd that go?
It was horrible. It was horrible. I'm losing faith in the minority community after going to this thing. Because the exact same thing we're talking about now.
But the way you said it was hilarious.
Dude, it's true. It's like exact same thing that we're talking about now is what's being brainwashed into people. And black political leaders are completely complicit. I mean, there's no – think about this. I could ask a group of black people, majority black people, and say, are you more afraid to go to the hospital and deal with a doctor in crisis? Or are you afraid to be – in contact with a police officer? 99.9% say, I'm more afraid of a police officer. When medical malpractice kills 250,000 people a year, police kill 1,000 people a year, and we're talking about medical malpractice is completely preventable. Police killing people, there's a lot of dangerous, crazy people out there that deserve use of force.
Yeah, so I want to, so you say you're, so tell me about this revolt thing. You said you're losing hope in your political leaders?
Oh my God. It was horrible, dude. It was horrible.
Well, what horrible. Is it? Tell us about it. I'm super curious.
So I was at the Revolt Summit. Candace Owens was a few years ago, and T.I. was
– So is it like a black political summit or something?
It's a black summit of all the ideas, right? They have a Christian segment of it. They have – this was the segment that I was a part of a panel of safety in the community. It's what they called it, safety in the black community.
How many people were on the panel?
It was – I mean, it could have been like 10 people on the panel, way too many
people. It was a circus.
It was a circus. But – there was two black police officers that they, me and another guy, that they said, hey, come and represent the voice of black police officers.
Okay, so at least they did that to their
credit. I will say this. The people who coordinated and got the speakers were legitimate folks. The people they put on the panel were completely out of control. The moderator was an activist, Ebony Williams. She's a real housewife.
Oh, yeah, forget it.
My wife told me about how trashy she is. But then you had David Banner.
Okay,
the rapper.
Not familiar. But
David
okay.
Banner is one of the biggest rappers. I mean, he's a little irrelevant. He's probably not your time. He's a little irrelevant now. But back then, probably before your time when you were really young, he was the man. So David Banner was there. A couple of activists. Benjamin Crump was there.
Very familiar.
You know Benjamin Crump.
He's a moron.
That guy was there. He didn't even talk much. But regardless of that, dude, they're on the panel saying, this system ain't for us. This system ain't for the black man. One guy said, policing came from slave patrols. Another guy said, there ain't no good police officers because the good ones don't say nothing about the bad ones, and so none of y'all good. Mind you, all the police officers that are patrolling and protecting this event are black Atlanta police officers. More than half of the Atlanta Police Department are black people. I would argue right now without even knowing, I bet the chief is black of the Atlanta mm-hmm. Police Department, and I bet all the commanders
are black. The mayor's black, I know that, yeah.
So it's like, what are you even talking about? I get on the stage, and I say, he finally gave me a chance to talk after an hour of them just being stupid. I say, because they said the country don't belong to us. The Constitution ain't gonna belong to us. Until we change these documents, the black man ain't gonna never. Mind you, David Banner has made millions of dollars in this system. There was at least 3 or 4 people on the panel that had 7-figure net worths that have used this very system.
So true.
The Revolt Summit was sponsored not by a black company, but by a white company, AT&T. So we need to get rid of all the white people and just focus on our community. And y'all, in a black event is sponsored by a white company.
And they're making tons of money.
And they raking it in. And so, and I get at the last, I got fed up, man. I said, this country belongs to us like anybody else.
Yeah, good
this Constitution
you.
Belongs to us. That American flag, that anthem belongs to us like anybody else. Our forefathers died so we can have a position and a right in this country. And they doing all this stuff. When I say that, Martin Luther King.
Now, the audience booed or like the
audience? And then, you know, they're the audience, you can hear them groaning.
And that's kind of a, you know, interactive audience thing, right?
Yeah. Okay, and then the people on the panel, of course, they're doing the same thing. The first thing that was said, and I wrote this in my book, debunking the myth that current police, government-funded police or state-funded police are a subsection of slave patrols. That was the first thing that David Banner said. I said, that's not true. That's not true. And then they just stopped me. I said, you guys can do your research and determine who's right, me and him. Then they stopped me on a panel and say, we're not going to tell lies on this panel. It ain't a lie. You said it. I disagreed. They can do the research. I wrote it in my book. He talking about he researched. I wrote a book about it.
Yes.
And so, you know, police didn't come from slave patrols. And all of these things that they were saying were the exact same thing that you're referring to as the mental distortion of reality to black people. And they don't experience it, but they push it on other black people. Let me say this one thing. They had mothers who were, their children were victims of homicide. Let's leave it at that, right?
Police homicide homicide?
No.
You mean gang violence?
No. Just they say start with homicide.
Well, I'm not inferring anything I
and
should.
Guess what most of the homicides were.
Is it gang violence?
Gang violence. Okay. Black on black violence. You don't have to suggest. Yeah. All you got to do is look at the stats.
Yeah, that's why So.
You know, 54% of all the homicides in this country are perpetuated by black men. Black men only make up 6% of the population, and we would argue that not every black man is a murderer. So you have to say half. We wouldn't even say half of black men are murderers. So you got to say 1% of the population commit 54% of the murders. I mean, that goes without saying. 96% of all the murders, they're perpetuated by black people. The victims of those murders are black people. You don't even have to talk about it. It ain't even the inference. Look at the stats. Black people are killing each other far more than white people could ever dream of.
That's right.
And police could ever dream of. Mm-hmm. It will take police officers, I don't know how many years, to keep up with the numbers of black on black murders.
So the moms were there as a statement,
I think they wanted them to be.
Yeah.
But in reality,
which obviously they're welcome. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
But they got a chance to speak. And that's the thing. They had a chance to speak. And when they spoke of how their kids were murdered by other black men, not by police.
Oh, wow.
And
powerful.
One of the ladies said, I know we talk a lot about police, but my baby was murdered by us. And then one lady, unfortunately, and this speaks to the fatherless homes. I didn't get the chance to talk about that because, you know, they were just nutty the whole time. But she was a single mom, and one of her kids had been murdered by another black man. One of her kids murdered a black man and was doing life in prison. I mean, where they daddy at? They don't want to talk about that.
Look, everyone out there has been asking me, Charlie, how do I get more pillows? Well, that's MyPillow.com. And MyPillow doesn't have their box stores anymore, so we got to help them out. And part of them being canceled, they want to give you the lowest price yet. So you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow regularly, $69.98. Now only $19.98 with the promo code. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, and $24.98 with a promo code. Or king size, usually $89.98, only $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to new beds. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So here's where I'm curious. So the whole panel was black. Is that correct?
The whole what?
Panel was black.
Everybody on the panel is black.
Okay. So out of, you know, Ebony Williams, whatever, Benjamin Crump, did anyone mention fathers?
No. They mentioned leadership. They did say, I think Banner may have mentioned that we need more male influence. Maybe that's what
he
said.
And that's as close as he got?
That's as close as he got, but that wasn't the primary focus. That was like, you know, we need this too, but...
But here's what and there's so many different ways I want to go with this. And you and Candace have pinpointed this, which is I think deep down the black community is not going to tolerate this like weak male kind of LGBT transgender. Like how – you know what I mean? Like
I hope not. You know, I would like to believe that it won't.
But like that's my gut.
But I don't know if the gut is right because – I'm living a bubble, and we both may live in a bubble.
Oh, I totally live in a bubble. I completely
what I'm saying, because all the black people I know are conservative. And then so I don't have a lot of experience, and I don't live in a primarily black community. So I don't know what most black people are feeling when you're exposed to a community of black people. So what I'm saying that to say, my experiences represent that I think that black people are more balanced than what we're getting credit for,
yeah.
And that the voting does not reflect the black thought.
And maybe that event was disproportionate. But
I'm hoping.
But you're talking about like the people on the panel are doing an injustice to the average black citizen is what you're saying.
I'm hoping, man, because to be honest, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let's look at the voting. We vote 90%+ for our oppressors.
That's right.
So it makes me feel like, well, wait a minute. Am I giving too much credit? And are we worse off than I think? Because that summit wasn't the only place that I've been where it's a primarily black audience and they're completely out of touch.
Talk more about that, though.
Well, I went to Rider University.
I remember.
It was a turning point event.
Yeah, we got to get you back out for an HBCU tour.
I have to. Dude. This is invaluable
Let's talk about that.
We will.
For the spring.
And so I went to Rider University. It was supposed to only be 50 students, turning point students. 450 showed
up. And it was a circus,
right? It was a circus, man. It was a young black girl come up, and she says, you know, my mom is on crack. I don't know my dad. I said, you know what? You can be whatever you want to be in this country. God is giving you the ability to change a generation. And God bless you. You work hard. You pursue. You will succeed. And I believe in you. You could be whatever you want to be. And let this be an opportunity as a scholarship player to get a free education and change your generation. Booed me. They booed me. Boo, boo, boo. And I'm like, I'm telling another black person that you can be what you want to be. Let this be a generational change for you. God has put you in a position. It doesn't matter what your mama did. Now look what you have an opportunity, something she never had. Take advantage of it. They booed me. They booed me on all other stuff because I said white supremacy, white privilege is a myth.
It is.
It's like, do a white person or this white person have a privilege? Yeah, but so do black people. So do tall people. So do handsome people. So do beautiful women. There's privileges to go around. But you're going to tell me that every white person that opened their eyes, you know, after birth and the baby opened his eyes, that somehow he has a privilege? Every university I go to, Turning Point Universities, everyone I go to, I say, how many people had to pay for your school? 90% of the people say, I had to pay for my school. You say, and you say, how many people are working? It's majority of the people are working to pay for school. This myth of white people floating around with all this money and they just show a card at tuition when it's time to pay tuition and they get it free. Or they go to a job and they go, hey, look, I got this white privilege card.
Or they commit a crime and they just have to submit the white privilege card, right?
Oh, police officers.
Yeah.
Here you go. Like I don't get as much time as the black man. Yeah, here's my card.
Like McCloskey or Sandman or Kavanaugh or Rittenhouse, right? Right. Where's their white privilege card, right?
Exactly. They drug them. The president of the United States of America, he said that Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist. Now, think about this for a minute. When a black man do a crime, if a president came out and said, you a hoodlum, you a thug. Oh, let's talk about that. People will be blown. It'll blow their minds.
Well, and Trump inferred that during some of the riots, and they lost their minds. Right?
Black football players are SOBs. I mean, these people kneeling for the national anthem, SOBs. They perceive that as racist, even though there's also white football players. I guess people don't realize that there's white players too. And when he says that, he's a racist and he's projecting all this stuff, but they can criticize white people. I mean, wrongly. This is a kid. LeBron James was criticizing a 17-year-old boy.
What do you make of that?
I thought it was disgusting, man. But you see him flop every day on the basketball court crying.
He's no Michael Jordan.
He's an idiot. He's no Michael Jordan.
And that's the best insult you can ever give him. Because he knows deep
down. I hope
you
stick to him.
No,
because it's true.
I say it every time. The best insult you can give to LeBron James, you are no Michael Jordan.
He will never be Michael Jordan. Why? Did Michael Jordan do the social justice stuff?
No,
that LeBron James
he said
doing?
Republicans buy sneakers too.
Because he's smart.
He was given an opportunity to do that. But Michael Jordan lost his father to a very unusual murder in the 90s.
Yep.
And Jordan was always a great role model. He was always careful about what he said. Yep. Careful about what causes he got behind. He was a winner, man. He lost zero NBA finals and won six of them.
Because he's a leader.
That's
because
right.
He doesn't let the lies and all of the noise affect how he thinks. He had a mom and he had a dad. Before his dad passed away.
And they were close. It was a nuclear family.
Right. His dad was in all his games.
That's right. Until he got murdered. Yeah.
Until he got murdered. That's why. Where's LeBron James' dad at?
I don't know.
We don't know.
That's a good question.
He got a dad because somebody was creeping.
That's an interesting question. Who is LeBron's dad?
I don't know if LeBron. I don't know if his LeBron mama know who his dad is.
Well, we know his mom. You know, yeah.
But we don't know if she know who his dad is. I don't know. That's a possibility.
That's just the problem in and of itself.
It is a problem because Michael Jordan is the way he is because his father
pushed
was there for him.
And pushed him.
Right.
And
gave him guidance.
And Michael would even say in his big family, he grew up in North Carolina, his dad would push him. And it's made him who he was and is. A multi-billionaire, literally.
Right.
He's a multi-billionaire.
Right.
And one of the great, probably the greatest basketball player ever, one of the greatest athletes ever.
And let me make sure we're clear about this because people may say, oh, you see my mama. Some moms are put in a position and they have to do the best they can.
Yeah, and that's not an attack on them.
It's not an attack on them. And some of them are incredible at the situation they've been put in.
Yep.
But make no mistake, God made male and female.
Yes.
God made two male and female to have a baby together so you can raise the baby together. If God didn't want that, then women could just get pregnant on their own and they could have children. But God made a male and a female have to come together. A male and female have to come together.
And then to raise the child.
To raise a child. Because there are certain things subconsciously, naturally, that a father can provide for the children that mom can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Same vice versa. There's some stuff that mama can do that daddy can't
do. That's
right. But for a young man, it is, and I wrote this in my book too, even though it's a book about policing, I wrote this. It is subconsciously when a man has love from his father, subconsciously he's more bold, he's more courageous. The guidance and the critique from your dad is different than your mama. And people don't understand that until you get soft, weak, feckless leaders like LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. It's a difference. And the difference ain't because basketball skills, because I would argue that LeBron James is very skillful. I mean, he's bigger. He's probably more, I don't know if he's more athletic, but he's bigger. Mm-hmm. He's definitely stronger. He came out of high school.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid was killing in high school. He could have played in the NFL.
Yep.
So talent-wise, I mean, LeBron James is very competitive with Michael Jordan on the talent level. But right here, because he was raised without masculinity in his house, and now he's a follower. And I could say more stuff about him, but I don't want to beat him up too bad.
I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. So the last thing I want to talk about, Brandon, and I want to just reiterate your book, Beaten Black and Blue, is where I think Republicans missed a huge opportunity with the black community. And I agree. I'm getting a little frustrated, and it's not my place to say this, but how, despite great communicators like you and Candace, just that the black community is still buying a lot of these lies. It's frustrating. Yeah. I'll be very honest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I see the venom you get from other blacks and Candace gets, and it bothers me. You know what I mean? It's just not warranted. But what I want to ask you is an opportunity I think Republicans miss, which is on the vaccine, which is like for – you had this huge, amazing opening where most blacks did not – they still don't trust the vaccine.
Right. Rightfully so.
Do you think Republicans messed this up?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because this could have been a point in which both sides could unite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. Some people just believe we can get to it at a different rate, or some people have been distracted to believe that there's no way of getting to it. We all want the same thing. We all want equality. We all want freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And when we feel like the government has infringed on us, which white people have experienced that too. I mean, make no mistake. Black people have experiences.
Yeah, but there were medical experiments of black people
right.
50, 60, 70 years ago,
yeah.
right? Tuskegee.
Yeah. Tuskegee experiment was one of them. And I would argue, here's another one that's coming out that's probably going to hit the news, is the vaccine. I think it's the mRNA.
mRNA, yeah.
No, it's maybe another one. It's one that starts with an M. But it's a vaccine that they give children. And it disproportionately affects young black children, creating autism. And there's a whistleblower that was a part of the vaccine, and I don't know what company he worked for, but he's going to come out and make the statement that they knew that black children who've gotten vaccinated with this particular vaccine that's mandated, that they were dying, and they were getting autism, and they were having disabilities, becoming zombies. They knew it. So that's one. That's another thing mm-hmm. that I hope black people realize, that the government has experimented on young black boys, or at least they don't care. But there's an opportunity for Americans to say, we are in a joint effort on limited government. You're not going to disrupt our freedoms, black or white.
Yeah.
And we should come together and rally.
Yeah, I saw an opportunity, Brandon, where conservatives, Republicans could have come in and said, hey, like, you're not going to ask blacks for their vaccine passports in New York of any color.
Yeah.
But I just didn't see
especially
that.
Especially black people.
But I think we could have had some inroads in the black community. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. No,
I agree with you, but you got to understand. I think that Republicans, in many ways, are feckless.
Oh, of course they are.
There's
few. Oh, no, I agree. I'm just saying that I was disappointed to see, like for the first time in my life, you have an issue that the black people are concerned about, and we decide not to even address it.
Right. You know, and it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, and I hope that I don't.
But they're concerned for good reasons, is what I'm saying, though.
Right, but it makes you wonder. Do some of these Republicans care?
I don't think they do, or they're too cynical.
But they don't need – you know, do they care? Are they reasonable for not caring, or are they irreasonable?
Well, I think some of them –
because they don't need to vote.
I think some of them – here's where I've come down. I think some of them are kind of going in the direction that if you continued on the path you're on in the sense of just being like, man, why am I getting booed when I'm talking about – you know, some Republicans are like, you know what? Screw it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Figure it out yourself. I'm going to go win the suburbs.
Right.
You know, and I'm not there. I don't think that's ever the right thing. I think that blacks deep down are far more conservative than they realize, especially on marriage and life.
100%.
And all that, you know, church, community. And I just think they've been fed such a propaganda campaign.
Yeah.
But I think some Republicans are like, why would I try to win over black voters?
True. And I think
I'm not saying they're right. I'm saying
I think that there's multifaceted, right? So if you look at it, you say, man, I need to win. Am I going to spend in Atlanta where Brandon Tatum was speaking
and
at?
And go
am
get
I,
booed am I gonna and get pissed. Booed? And then a headline of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Republicans booed off stage by black audience? Like, no.
Am I going to do that? Because even if I do get 20% more that vote for me, I'm still not going to use that. Their voting is not going to make me win.
Yep.
I mean, think about this is where black people, I think black Americans, have gotten themselves in a bind. Because they've sold out to the Democrat Party so hard that the Democrat Party don't need them. They're sold. That's like being in a relationship with a woman, and this is not what Christians do, but being in a relationship with a woman that you already got her. You're chasing the other one over here. Well, you don't care about pleasing her. She already there. You know she ain't going to leave, so you're going to go mess with this woman. And you're going to try to court her in because you know you got her. Just like the Democrats do with black people. They got you. Mm-hmm. They own a campaign thing speaking Spanish. They ain't worried about none of y'all.
Yeah, and that's where I see this opportunity for blacks to say, we don't want this anymore.
But brother, I don't know if it's getting through because it's so ingrained for generations.
I know.
There was a dude on a CRT. He was in Fort Worth, Texas, where I went to school.
Was that unbelievable? What
yeah,
he said?
The guy. I mean, he was threatening him, to be honest. And
he said, "I have an army of people."
Army of people armed. When he walked out, he said they locked and loaded. And so,
could you imagine if a white person said that?
Oh my God! To all black people, I got an army. They'll say that it was the Klan, and that the Klan was out. People would say we saw the Klan members outside.
They would arrest him.
He would go to jail, and he would be charged with a hate crime.
That's right. That's exactly right. You are right. That's well said.
But there's black privilege in this country. Unfortunately, there's
you know
black
what's
privilege.
So funny is the guy on the morning, the Breakfast Club. Oh my goodness, what's his
Charlemagne?
He wrote a book called Black Privilege. You know that?
Did he? I didn't even know that.
Saying that blacks have privilege in America and we have
he
to realize.
Did.
Isn't that so funny?
I need to find – that's a talking point for me. That's funny that he say that because he would never talk like that
that's
on the
right.
show.
That's right. I got to say some of this stuff. He literally wrote a whole book called Black Privilege, Why It's Best to Be Black in America.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He's changed a little bit, hasn't he?
Hey, I, you know what? I think that he – I think in his personal life he ain't like he is on
– I don't know much about him.
He will get canceled.
He tolerates too much of this stuff. I'm actually not anti-Charlemagne. I just think it's interesting. I think that's really interesting. So in closing, it's beaten black and blue. But Brandon, I want to have you back. I want to keep on wrestling about this. And I'd love to get Candace's opinion. Just like, what is the path forward for the black community? What do we have to do better? Because I could tell you were impacted by, you know, that.
Dude, it was a strike two for me. It felt like strike two. It's like one more time.
Ryder was number one?
Ryder was number one. I mean, I almost gave up on Ryder right there. I was like, no, but man, you know what? God called me to be me. Let me just say this. This is what I think. This is the way I operate and the best way I think we can function as citizens. I just do me. I'm just telling the truth. And if black people want to get on board with that, then get on board. I'm not going to change what I have to say. I'm not going to change what God has put in my heart. I'm not gonna kiss nobody but. And so my thing in attracting a black community is that if you speak the truth, I believe that the people who want the truth will come, no matter if they're black, white, green, or orange. And that keeps me from being racist.
No, I totally
because
agree.
Because I don't care. I don't pick one over the other.
No, I know.
I love white people and black people exactly the same. I love Hispanic people exactly the same. I love people that don't live in this country exactly the same.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm going to tell the truth no matter what environment I'm in. When I was at the summit, I don't care if they booed me. Some people were like, oh, man, I'm sorry that happened. I don't care. I'm me.
Yeah.
I'm going to do me. And if y'all get mad, that's on you. So, if we just focus on the truth, focus on facts.
The truth will set us free.
The good people in any community Amen. Are going to stand up and say, you know, I can get with that. I can get with that. It's like Christ.
Amen.
Christ didn't pander to nobody. Christ told the truth according to the word of God and according to the prophets. And he stuck there. And you and I said, you know what? I'm going to answer that call.
Amen.
What he said is right. He didn't have to pander. He didn't have to put on some clothes and look like me and paint his skin or not paint his skin. He just told the truth. And that truth will draw your heart. And I think that's the most effective approach.
Beaten Black and Blue by Brandon Tatum. Check it out, everybody. Bye today, Brandon. You're awesome. You got to come on more often.
Anytime.
God bless. Anytime. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless you. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.